Satan was in the Garden of Eden. Satan, chapter 28, the book of Ezekiel, was in the Garden of Eden. He was there when he sinned. May I show you something? Go with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 11, verse 45. Daniel, chapter 11, verse 45. You want to know how that Dome of the Rock is removed? Daniel, chapter 11, verse 45. Daniel 11, 40 to 44 is the battle, the alignment of the nations. You're talking about Syria, Egypt. You're talking about Ethiopia, Somalia, Sudan. You're talking about Turkey. You're talking about Persia, which is Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan. You're talking about all of these nations coming against Israel. Magog, Russia, Ukraine. A parallel passage would be Ezekiel chapter 38. You're talking about this. What happens? Ezekiel 38:18 says that Jesus Christ rains hellfire and brimstone out of the heavenlies to destroy the attacking enemies. Look at verse 44 of chapter 11 of Daniel first. But tidings out of the east and out of the north, this is the attack, the culmination of the attack of the nations I've just described, shall trouble him. Great fury shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and to utterly make away many. Who will go forth? The Antichrist. While Jesus Christ is destroying all these attacking nations, and this happens in the first 6 months of the tribulation period, while all of this is going on, the Antichrist, who has confirmed a covenant with the Jewish people, promising to protect them, goes forth like great fury to try to destroy all of them. And Jesus Christ gets the victory. And five out of every six people in the Islamic world, that's the only way you can set up a false church, wipe out the Islamic people. There is no coexistence with a false church and Islam. They do not coexist. You got to rid the world of them. And that's what Ezekiel 38, Daniel 11 is talking about. And chapter 39, verse 2 of Ezekiel says, five out of every six are destroyed. And now the Antichrist comes forth. And look what verse 45 says. And he is the Antichrist. The pronouns he, his, and him modifying Antichrist in this portion of Scripture. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. That's the Temple Mount. Between the seas, the Mediterranean Sea and the Dead Sea. Between the seas, in the north, the Sea of Galilee, and the south, the Red Sea. And what's in the middle of those four seas? The Holy Temple Mount. And who is this going to do what? This is Antichrist. Who's going to plant the temple on the Temple Mount? This is in the tribulation period. He's going to be worshipped. What did he say in Isaiah chapter 14? He said, I will be worshipped in Jerusalem. That's the phrase that is used. He doesn't say the word Jerusalem. Let me just read Isaiah 14 for you. Just a second. Verse 13. And thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Psalm 48 describes that phrase as Jerusalem. That's what that phrase is talking about. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Satan is going to sit on the Temple Mount. He was in the Garden of Eden. He will be worshipped on the Temple Mount. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Satan goes, this is the abomination of desolation. He walks into the temple. He sits down as God. Revelation chapter 13, verses 12 and following. They set up an image that the whole world, the false prophet, causes the whole world to worship. And how do they cause the world to worship the image of Antichrist, of Satan in the temple in Jerusalem? Through signs, wonders, and miracles. And we have a proliferation of them today in so-called Christendom. And that's the comparison between Satan in the Garden of Eden and Satan on the Temple Mount, worship during the tribulation period. I mean, I wanted to be a lawyer one day. I think I'm building my case. You, the jury, will make the decision, but I'm standing here before you with the absolute authority of the Word of God. Let's go back to those rivers just a second. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Don't you wish I'd get excited about this? Man, I tell you what, I don't know if anybody ever enjoys any Bible teaching I do, but I have the greatest time studying it and giving it. I just enjoy it myself. I have a ball. It's so exciting to me. The river, singular, verse 10, chapter 2 of the book of Genesis. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became four heads. And we know it was the Tigris, Euphrates, the Pishon, and the Gihon. And we talked about not knowing. We knew where the Tigris, Euphrates were. But that's some 1,500 years that they were established when the flood took place after the Garden of Eden. We don't know exactly where they were at the time of the Garden of Eden. We don't know where the Pishon is, but I told you yesterday we know where the Gihon is, and you can do a word study in the Bible. The Gihon River is at Jerusalem. And so I submit to you that is further evidence, and in fact, Orthodox Judaism says that is why they believe it. I told you about the young man who, the son of the leader of the archaeological dig at the city of David, who put his scuba equipment on and dove down under at the pools of Shalom, went in the Gihon Springs, and found the water going underneath the Temple Mount. They even have discovered, you've got to watch this video that I'm going to do. I take you to the spot on Day of Discovery. Don't miss that, because we go down to the spot and they talk about a tunnel that goes all the way under the Temple Mount where the priest could come and get the water and take it in there. It's unbelievable. But that was the Garden of Eden. What's going to happen in the future? Water will flow from the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Oh, not the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. Chapter 22, verse 1, and a river crystal clear flows from the throne of God. That's the new Jerusalem. That's eternity future. Go to chapter 47 of Isaiah. Of Ezekiel. I could take you to Joel chapter 3 verse 18. I could take you to Zechariah chapter 14 verse 8 and show you that water flows from the Temple Mount down to the Dead Sea. But the best location is Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47 lays it out as plain as anybody could want to read. Verse 1, chapter 47, book of Ezekiel. Afterward, you see in chapters 40 to 46, he describes him building the temple. He gives all the details for the Messiah's temple, the millennial temple. Chapter 47, verse 1. Afterward, he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. The house is the temple. It issued out of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. And so water is coming out of the Temple Mount from the house of God. Look here in verse 3. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to my ankles. By the way, the water comes out of the Temple Mount, out of the throne of God, out of the temple itself, down in the Kidron Valley. Now it's moving eastward. Verse 4, it's at his ankles in verse 3. Verse 4, and again he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the water. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, and he brought me through, and the waters were to my loins. Verse 5, and afterward he measured 1,000, and it was water that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in. You notice as they start out there at the Temple Mount, they come out in the Kidron Valley to the ankles, to the knees, to the waist, and now he's got to swim. And they're on their way to the east. They're going down. There is a wadi. You know what a wadi is? It's a dry river bed. And it's only filled with water in the rainy season. Or, when God has released water from the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and the waters are flowing down eastward, and the wadi, I could take you in Jerusalem, I could take you to the Jordan Valley, I could take you to the wadi, the Kidron Wadi. And it flows down to the Dead Sea. Verse 8. Then said he unto me, these waters issued out toward the east country, and go down to the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. What waters need to be healed? The ones that are dead. The Dead Sea. An ocean or a sea that is 7 times saltier than any ocean on the face of the earth. And it's healed. And you know what they do? They stock it with fish. You think I'm messing around? Well, look right here in verse 10. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi, even they're going to put their nets in Engedi and dry them out. Having done the fishing, I love to take somebody new to Israel, take them to the Dead Sea. Said, you bring your fishing rod? Go out there and have a ball. I leave them for 2 days and they don't catch even a nibble, you know. But then they'll be able to do it. As water issued out of the Garden of Eden, water will issue out of the Temple Mount in the millennial kingdom.